Sometimes it can be just as bittersweet as chocolate. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to the show. You are in for another edition with the girl, the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. And I am just so excited for this interview. We'll be talking to Vanessa Riley. She is a returning guest co-host and contributor, and she is the author of the hot off the press release, The Bittersweet Bride. Oh, is book one of Love Advertising. Love's Advertising coming up this year. And I can't wait to delve into this series. I'm sorry, it's called Advertisement for Love, Love Series. So that's coming up this year, and I cannot wait to delve into this book and this series with my returning guest today. So stay tuned right there. We'll be back in a few moments. I got to tell you, I've been telling you about it for a few weeks now. I will be at the Southern California Christian Writers Conference again this year. I'll be teaching two more workshops. I'm very excited to be down there. It's the second annual conference, and you know, the first annual conference was great, and this one is going to be even better. So if you want to join me in California, I'll be in La Mirada at the Biola University campus, a lovely campus. Join me there June 21st through the 23rd. You can actually sign up now to have appointments with me. Let's say if you're an author out there, you want to be on the show, you're a publisher, you want to contact me with me, your authors, or your indie small press want to do the same thing, make sure you sign up for me in that conference, because I'll make sure I meet with you while I'm there. Looking forward to meeting so many of you who have been following me and my show for the last 5 years. Really excited to be going there. We had such a great time last year, guys. So if you want to join Southern California Christian Writers Conference, make sure you just simply Google Southern California Christian Writers Conference or SoCal 2018, and you'll be taken to the page. You can register right away. Find out all what's going to be there. There are a ton of workshops, lots of faculty. If you didn't even know how to write, by the time this conference is done, you will know how to write. That's how jam-packed and information-filled this conference is going to be. Again, it's going to be at Biola University from June 21st through the 23rd, and you can meet your girl, the queen, Parker J, there as well. I want to also let you know, I've told you about the Silver Pines Historical Fiction multi-author series I'm part of. Well, guess what? The second book in that series, called Wanted Horse Breeder, dropped today. It's written by my wonderful co-author, Barb Goss, and she's a wonderful author, has lots of books out there. And so that just dropped today. So make sure you go ahead and get your copy of that. And if you missed the first book, you can get that too. It's called Mail Order Marshall. It is a Bride of Beckham with the ever famous Kirsten Osborne, but it is a segue into the Silver Pine series. So the second book of the Silver Pine series drops today. My book in that series will be coming out in June. So if you want to stay tuned for more of what's going on with your girl, make sure you sign up for my newsletter at www.parkerjcole.com. When we come back, we'll be talking to the ever-impressive Vanessa Riley. So make sure you can call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air. Or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We will be right back.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff on WTJC 104.5. Let me tell you, so glad you are with me today. We're going to be talking to my returning guest co-host and contributor today, Vanessa Riley. She is the author of the book, The Bittersweet Bride. It is book one of the Advertisements for Love series. There's going to be more coming up. I'm going to talk about that later on in the broadcast. What's really great about Vanessa Riley is the type of fiction that she writes. She's actually filling in a void. When we talk about diverse books and we talk about needing diverse characters and all that type of thing, she's doing that, and she was doing it before the man became a man. She was great because that's what she likes to do. And it's exciting and rewarding to have her back on the show. I remember when she was mentioning this type of series about 2 years ago, we had her on the show, and now out here. And that's what's so exciting about being the host of stuff. I get to relationships with authors and follow their careers and see their careers grow. And it's such an honor for me to see that with Vanessa. If you want a copy of The Bittersweet Bride, you can get it today. It's on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold, and it's already getting rave reviews. So make sure you love my sister today and get a copy of her book today. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, Vanessa Riley. Vanessa, how are you doing, girlfriend?
Thank you for having me back on the show.
It's been, like I said, it's been like a couple of years, but throughout those couple of years, I have watched your career soar. I've watched your popularity grow, and it's been so great to see your career just blossoming, and you're filling the void and becoming known for a certain type of fiction. So congratulations for where God has taken you from and where he's taking you to. Congratulations on that.
I'm very thankful. I'm thankful for every one of the readers that believed. I'm thankful for those who had faith, and even for those who thought I was crazy and just, you know, nodded their heads and bought the book. I love you all.
Nod your head and smile. It's okay, you know. That's what some people think. Yeah. But writers in general don't think like other people. We tend to think out the box a lot because something odd will get those creative juices flowing and we have to write it down. So, you know, we just nod and smile to those of us who don't get it. We just nod and smile with us because we get it and we love it. And now, other people who may not have heard of you before, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are in your own words.
I'm Vanessa Riley, and I am bringing the stories of love of the 10,000 Blackamoor and mulattoes that existed during the Regency time frame. Their voices have been silent. Their histories have been covered over by the sands of time, and I'm uncovering them and making them fresh and showing how they intersected in British society, and the particularly the intersection of the ton and the upper crust, the merchant class, the middle class, showing how they all interacted and built the fabric of English society.
And you have to understand something. I grew up reading Regency. I grew up reading it, and I loved Regency romances. I liked Regency, and I think I liked the Viking ones back in the day, those big, thick, giant 1990 and 1980 books, you know, that you could put under your bed and level out your bed, those giant ones. I used to read those. I used to read them on the slide, too, because my mom didn't want me to read them, right? And so I would take the covers off. And one time, Vanessa, I put one in my, I know, right? I put one in my Bible one time because I was reading it, and I put it in my Bible, And my mom was like, oh, she's just so proud. Like, she's always reading the Word of God, you know. Yeah, I am. But yeah, I love the fact that you're bringing voices to this sect of people that have been lost over the sands of time. Why do you think that's important, or why do you think you were given that calling to do?
Why was I given that calling to do? It's always been a burning passion. I remember when I got the assignment to read Jane Austen in high school, how I was in love and everybody else was like hating life. It has always clicked. I've taken, in college, I've taken so many Western civilization classes that history is just completely fascinating to me. And when you think about the things that many have forgotten, Jane Austen, the patron saint of Regency, her very last book, Sandinista, is about a mulatto heiress.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at this, a mulatto heiress, basically a mixed race woman who's the richest woman in the book. And Jane Austen is writing a book. But yet, all of that goes away and we just focus on Pride and Prejudice or Persuasion or Emma. And we go back to what we see in the movies, and there's a whole class of people that are just gone, and they were very much a part of the fabric. It wasn't uncommon to see a blackamoor person walking through the streets, working in your household, or even transacting and doing business, and lo and behold, some of them might have ended up in your bed. But that is the history of just my calling to bring those stories back out.
I got a quote here from Piper Hughley, and Piper Hughley, for those of you who don't know, she is my mentor as well as my very good friend, and she's an award-winning author who has who's been holding up the banner of writing stories of people of color and multicultural stories. And I have a quote from here, and she says, "In the mid 19th century, there are 2,650 persons of color in London, compared to about 30 dukes in the whole country." So from a certain perspective, a historical romance about a person of color set in England in the mid-19th century is 88.3% times more plausible than one about a duke. Thank goodness Vanessa is looking to level the playing field. That's from Piper, also with Alexis Hall. And Piper, thank you again for sharing that quote. You know, Piper is someone I admire greatly. And like I said, she is a very dear friend. But I love her work when she writes about the forgotten eras of people of color. And when she mentioned this to me about The Bittersweet Bride, she was right there with you. You know what I mean, Vanessa? She was right there promoting your book, making sure people knew about it. I saw her on Twitter. I mean, she was going at it. She was making sure that people knew that these stories had to be
said. I love her to death. She's so awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just thankful. And I always wondered, she finds everything on Twitter. She just amazes me. How she can write all these books, teach the children, you know, do all these amazing things, and yet know everything that's going on. I'm fascinated.
Oh, it is a trip, because I'm like, how did you, aren't you, how do you write? You know, it's like, how do you do it? Because she's a professor at Spelman, for those of you out there. She's a professor at Spelman. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking to someone, we're talking a big brain young lady here who's just as beautiful as possible, you know. She always supports stories written by or for African Americans and people of color, because these stories, like you said, need to be told. And when she used that statistic, she said it's more plausible, you know. And I've read a ton of Duke stories. I mean, she's more plausible for having, go ahead. What are you going to say, Vanessa?
During the time of the Regency, there were about 28 Dukes. 28.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were 10,000 blackamoor and mulattoes living just in London alone. So 28, 10,000. The odds of walking and interacting in your lifespan with a blackamoor is so much more plausible than a Duke. But yet, if you write and you show these other stories, the people are thinking you're inventing history. They call it historical fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's just difficult. I mean, I'm getting emotional about it because I'm so passionate about getting the message out. But it's a common thought that we somehow didn't exist, and we were kings and queens in Africa, and then there was slavery, and it's like, well, wait a minute, there's a whole bunch of years in between that are been completely wiped off the place. And I particularly love Britain because in about 1778, slavery is abolished right there in England's mainland, and then by 1833, without a shot being fired, like over here in the United States in the Civil War, all of slavery is abolished in all of the British Empire. So it's a great plethora, and we were there. And part of my purpose is to show we were there. And guess what? We loved it. There were times that were difficult, but there's also a lot of love and a lot of action and adventure and just people being people. And those are the kind of stories I want to show.
Oh, yeah. And I'm so excited to be helping you with that, with this platform, because, like I said, I love Regency. I love Regency. I haven't read in a while because I'm going to write my own thing now. I write more contemporary now. But I loved Regency. I love the flavor of it, the costumes, the way you had to talk to people. Like, I just loved it. I just love Regency. And to see that you're putting the voices back to the voiceless, I just commend you for that, Vanessa. So we're talking to Vanessa Riley. She is the author of a new release, The Bittersweet Bride, is book one of the Advertisers for Love. And I cannot wait to delve into this book. What we're going to do is take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be delving into The Bittersweet Bride, because I got to know where that title came from. I got to know about this bride. I got to know about this hero. So we're going to talk to Vanessa about that. So if you want to weigh in and ask questions, you know you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter, Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff, with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WTJC 104.5. Again, so glad, because we're talking to my returning guest, co-host, and contributor today, Vanessa Riley. She is the author of the book, The Bittersweet Bride, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. If you love Regency romance, you want a fresh take on it, you definitely want to pick up any book by Vanessa Riley. But this is one here is called the Advertisements for Love series, and this is the first one called The Bittersweet Bride. And once again, Vanessa, thank you so much for being with us on the show. I'm always so glad to have you here with us. And like I said earlier in the broadcast, it's just so wonderful to watch your career blossom and groom and, you know, to be able to say, hey, I remember when. I love it. I love saying that. So really excited to have you with us on the show again.
I'm glad to be here, Parker. So thank you so much.
Now, we got a comment and a question from our wonderful supporter of both of our works, Deborah Dunson. You know, we mentioned Deborah a lot on this show, and the reason why is because Deborah probably has saved more authors' careers than she gives herself credit for, you know. Deborah, she
Deborah
let,
is
you know,
a lovely
oh, yeah.
person.
I mean, lovely.
Amazing, Deborah, we love you. You are so
lovely.
Wonderful.
And she really probably doesn't understand how many people's careers she saved just by letting people know I enjoyed your story or sending out a message to an author. She has no idea how big of a deal that is for an author, especially when you're just starting out and you have that support. So Deborah sent this question in, and Deborah's from St. Petersburg, Florida. She says, I have always wondered why you chose to write historical romance. How does your readership receive your historicals featuring interracial couples? Deborah, as always, thank you for your question. Vanessa?
Okay. The first part of her question, why historicals? I think that's my voice. I mean, one of the things as an author, as you know, Parker, you're gifted. You can do both contemporary and historical. My voice is historical. And just the way, the rhythm, the of the words, the way the words come to me, I think it would be very difficult for me to do a contemporary. I'm not saying impossible, but it would be very difficult. You probably have to have special characters that are like, oh, he's just the awkward guy over there. That's why his vernacular is so very different. figure out what's your tone and of your manner of writing. I embrace it. And for me, it's this historical tone. It's very much the Regency Victorian era. The layering of the words. And so for me, that's it. I'm home. When I write there, nothing is more free. The ideas flow so well. I'm home when I write historicals. And the second part was, how do readers accept the interracial aspect?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was that the second part of her question?
Yeah, that was the second part of her question. Yeah.
Okay. I believe, for the most part, it's very positive because my readership is diverse. As diverse as my books, my readership is diverse. And I firmly believe that people enjoy seeing themselves in a book. And so when you look for strong heroines, when you look for heroines of color, when you look for characters of color, when you look for that intersectionality of mainstream and marginalized, and you want to see how people interact in this frame, that's the playground that I live in, and that's where I think I excel, and I believe I take my readers on a journey. As I was telling you earlier, I don't write historical fantasy, so the hard issues, the conflicts between race, the conflicts between class, they're going to be addressed in my books. But I think I do it in a way that shows you how love survives, how people can move past the lies that we tell ourselves, that we can move past and become our better versions of ourselves. And I think that is what draws them. And so by the time you get to the end of the book, it's no longer I'm reading about an interracial couple. I'm reading about a couple that has fought very hard to keep the love that they have, that they have gone through things, they've changed. Their faith is more deeply rooted inside of themselves, and they have grown beyond lies, which you get when you get to the end of Vanessa Riley book.
And for those of you listening to the sound of my voice, make sure you pick up a copy of The Bittersweet Bride today. It is book one of the Advertisements for Love series. And one thing I got to tell you, Vanessa, I love this cover of this book. I mean, he is looking at her so passionately, and she's just, it's actually a call to some of the older covers from back in the day. It has that same feel of passion and just a huge story to tell. And I love the cover of this, and I love the title, The Bittersweet Bride. And so I definitely want to get into the pages between the covers here, because I want to know what this book is about. So go ahead and tell us in your own words, what is Bittersweet Bride about?
The Bittersweet Bride is a second chance for love story. It's about a hero and a heroine who 6 years before the book starts, they meet, they fall in love, but they have to separate. He has to go to war for a year because he has to prove to his father that he's a man and that he can handle, it's very important for him to have his father's approval. And so she's left to wait for him. And she loves him enough that she believes that they can do this, and she understands him better than anybody. And so she understands how much it is for him to have his father's approval. But, sometimes young couples leave luggage that arrives 9 months later. And during those time frames, so she's got this lovely luggage that's coming, and she gets word that he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So what is she going to do? She can't wait for her love to come back. He's dead. And during that time frame, if you were born out of wedlock, it limited a lot of things, inheritance rules, the way people look down upon folks. It was very bad. And Theodosia had always made a promise to herself that she wasn't going to be like her mother. Her mother was mm-hmm. a prostitute, and she was formed from one of the liaisons. So she ends up marrying a very wonderful guy, Matthew Cecil, who understands her predicament. He's an older gentleman, and they marry. And so the book starts 6 years after this fact, and she's now a widow. She's a wealthy woman, but because of the terms of Matthew's will, at age, he's appointed a guardian because mm-hmm. all children, because it was still a very male-dominated hierarchy, at age six, mm-hmm. the guardian now has the determination of where the child will live. And Theodosia has this precious little boy named Philip who has a hearing problem. He's actually losing his hearing. And she's mm-hmm. tormented about that because, while she was carrying him, she starved. There were some very bad things happened. She basically starved. And so as a consequence, the boy has this hearing problem. And mm-hmm. she knows that the guardian will basically manipulate her and force her to marry him so that he can get control of all the money that Matthew Cecil has left her. So she's going to beat him to the punch, and she's going to get married first. So she does a very progressive thing. She puts an advertisement in the newspaper, which was a common practice back then, for marriages of convenience. So you put an ad in the paper, woman of esteem, looking for a man of such and such situation. And if the two meet, you exchange letters, you meet, if it works out, this is going to be, you get married, right? Mm-hmm. And so she's collecting her letters at the Burlingame Arcade. And lo and behold, she bumps into Ewan. And Ewan is there, and he's alive, and she doesn't know what to do. Because her whole world has been formed by this man and the loss of this man, and he's back.
Mm-hmm.
But him being back now will threaten her son, because it's going to no longer – the son was claimed by Matthew Cecil. So now mm-hmm. if – back, there's a whole bunch of questions she's going to have to answer, and she cannot have that. And she also understands that he, in her mind, he's still the same person who's still worried about what his father's going to think. He wasn't strong enough to protect their love 6 years ago. In her mind, nothing has changed. And so you have these people that the love was very strong, very deep, but now they are both living or believing versions of lies of each other, and they've got to figure out how do they go on.
Now I get why you call it the bittersweet bride, because you have this bitterness on top of the sweet. It's like that chocolate, like dark chocolate, is kind of has a bitter taste to it, but it's still very sweet. That's why they call it bittersweet, And apparently it's healthier for you, which is if you want a reason to delve into dark chocolate, go right ahead. So it's healthier for you, that's just a mm-hmm. Parker fact there. So anyway,
you don't really need much reason to do dark chocolate. So it's always,
I like how you have these layers going on here, because you have a woman who's in desperate straits, who tries to do what she can with the information that she knows. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, oh, I'm not dead. You know, you go, really? Well, that would have been nice to know several years ago. And I love that intrigue there. Now, you mentioned something here because it was still a male-dominated society, a patriarchal society. And we know that just from, you know, osmosis almost. We kind of know that from osmosis almost. And so here she is basically asking for a male. Didn't happen often. It's usually mail-order brides, especially in the Americas. In the Americas, they had mail-order brides and there was marriages of convenience and stuff. The fascination of marriage of conveniences, why do you think so many of us in the 21st century are just fascinated by this very, it's a lot of books are based off of, you know, marriage of conveniences, tropes and things of that nature. Why are we so fascinated by that?
I think that people love the idea of by happenstance, you're going to meet that person who's meant for you. And you're going to, you know, get married and all of a sudden the love will come. And so I think that's a very fascinating thing. And, you know, as writers, we make sure the love comes, right? Usually marry that right person through marriage of convenience and, you know, they overcome some struggles and that bonding and the love comes. And I think there's just a deep fascination because people left to their own devices have not necessarily, what's the divorce rate is, what, 55% in America?
I know, right? not convenient at all.
I think that's the fascination of it. And, you know, we writers make it look really good, right? So it looks.
I know, right?
Oh, look, it works. He's not a serial killer. For them. Oh, it works.
You know, it's because nowadays we're just so terrified. Like, I mean, me being married now, I kind of shudder thinking if I had to date again right now. It's really scary right now because you don't know what you're getting. I mean, you really have no idea what you're getting. And then, you know.
I was just saying it's scary because now not only do you have to fund their credit, you got to look at their social media.
Right. And so they didn't have social media back then. So hopefully these people, when they made out these letters, they really were the people that they thought they said they were, you know. And if you found out, you found a little bit too late because you left Harfin home to go be with, you know. But what I like too is that knowing that this could have happened. You have an African-American or what you call a black woman else in that era. So this is something that would have happened to anybody. But you put that special spin on it because here she is, a woman of means, which you often don't see because oftentimes African-Americans in general, not all the time, but in general have been portrayed as, you know, in servitude, slavery, things of that nature. And so what's really fresh is that you have a person of color heroine who has money of means, who's smart, strategic, trying to make ends meet. Why is that important when it comes to putting in diverse characters in our story, especially stories like this in the Regency era? Why is that important to have those type of strong female roles and female characters?
I think when, you know, a lot of people craft their stories, and this is not a knock on other people's stories. You write the story that you're in. You always see very strong heroines, redhead, brunette, and then when you have the best friend or the grandma, the wise grandma person, that's the person of color. And for me, I think it's essential that I want to show these very strong loves of these very strong women that I've found to exist. And I want to bring those stories forward because you don't see that. And I think there's something. I'm a very big person on my covers, and I love the fact that Tangles has worked very hard to make sure we get great covers. But I want you guys to see that beauty and that strength in these women when I tell these stories. But so it's extremely important. When I was coming up with the series, I was doing research, and I found this cartoon from 1803, and it's called Advertisements for a Wife. Because once again, it was very common practice. It was actually a very liberating practice for women. It actually was one of their centers of power to put ads in the newspaper. And so this cartoonist was trying to make fun of it, or basically trying to ridicule women out of using the newspapers in order to seek husbands. And so they draw this picture, and man is shocked about all these people who've responded to his ad, and the women are drawn very poorly. But there's one woman in the crowd, a Blackamoor woman, and she's drawn very poorly, and they give her some very bad grammar. And basically, the cartoon is to make fun of all women, but the black woman particularly is made fun of the most. And I thought to myself, how do we instead of getting mad at these, because this is history. This is a historical. Yes. This is a cartoon printed in 1803. How do we give power to that situation? And so my thought was, let's give the women the power. Let's give the Blackamoor women the power. They have the money. They're the heiresses. They get to choose they are the people over their fate. And so that's one of the reasons I'm very excited about this series.
And like I said, it's gotten lots of rave reviews. We even got a review from Alyssa Cole. She's an award-winning author, very talented author. She says, a riveting, beautifully written, exquisitely detailed historical romance. That's from Alyssa Cole. Alyssa, once again, thank you for your review of The Bittersweet Bride. And for those of you listening in, you can get a copy of this book today. It is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more of Vanessa Riley and The Bittersweet Bride, getting your reactions and what else is up next for this series, Advertisements of Love. You can call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be on air. Or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole. Tag right with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We will be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use a discussion question. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer, no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WCJC 104.5. We are talking to my wonderful guest, co-host and contributor today, Vanessa Riley. She is the author of the book, The Bittersweet Bride, which is available on Amazon.com. Books are sold. If you like Regency romances, you are definitely going to enjoy The Bittersweet Bride. And it's such a fresh take because she's giving back the voices of the voiceless, because it was common for you to see a person of color in mid-19th century England and London than it was to see a Jew. There were only about 28 at the time, but there was 2,600 people in London. So guess what? That's historical fact. And what Vanessa Call God gave her and giving stories and voices to this wonderful sect of people in the Regency area, in the Regency era. So I'm really excited to be showcasing this book and all of Vanessa's books. So if you like Regency romances and multicultural race, interracial romances, Vanessa Riley today. And again, Vanessa, thanks so much for being on the show. One of the things I was thinking about as we were doing this is that we probably wouldn't be here, and we have to give her props. If it wasn't for Beverly Jenkins, we'd definitely give a shout out to Beverly Jenkins. Beverly Jenkins is a award-winning lifetime achievement author of people of color romances. I will never forget the first time I saw her book. I was in writing, and I looked up, and I was looking through the book section, and I saw the book was called Night Song, the very first book called Night Song. And I was like, oh, my goodness, black people on the cover. I never seen that. And
beautiful black people on the cover, too.
Yes.
That's just, you know, that beat down, downtrodden, beautiful black people on the cover.
Right. And he was, you know, about to take her on the, you know, he's very passionate. Take her to do something with her, you know. And you're like, whoa. I remember thinking that. And I had to hurry to tear the cover off of that one, too. So I had bought that book. And I had never seen
that's
that.
Definitely
so we
one
definitely
to hide in the Bible. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. So we definitely have to give a shout out to Miss Beverly Jenkins. And I call us, she calls us, she said, you could be my granddaughter too. She said one time when she showed my granddaughter too. I said, thank you, you know, because it's me, you, Piper, and so many of us who have to thank her because she paved the way for these stories that we enjoy. She paved the way for you by showing that historical romance with African Americans. And she paved the way for me for just being in love with African American romance and the romance in general that had history in it. You know, and she paved the way for Piper because, you know, Piper, you know, she followed her too. So all of us, you know, have to thank Beverly Jenkins for what she's done. So shout out to you, Ms. Jenkins, and thank you for everything that you do. I know you got a Beverly Jenkins story to share with us, so go ahead and share it with us.
Well, it probably is not as good as yours, but as I think about it. But I remember the first time I met her was at an RSJ convention, and I had just come out with The Bargain, which was my very first truly interracial book that I had released. And she had read it, and she told me, you tell a good tale, but I want you to slow down. I want you to slow down and tell a story and take as long as you need to tell the story. So it's advice that has really settled in on me. And, you know, you take the time, you layer as much as you need to layer to build a world. Because when you read one of a Vanessa Riley book, like when you read a Beverly Jenkins book, you are absorbed in that time frame. So even if you're new to reading, you get dropped in, and you're absorbed, and you feel it, and you can taste it, and you can see it, so that you understand what's going through these characters. So I do take my time, just like she told me to, and make sure that you enjoy the journey I put the characters on.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, reading Beverly Jenkins, you're there. I mean, you know, you are there. I mean, sometimes you come out of a book, you're like, wow, it's the 21st century, you know, because you're there. And that talent just comes from making sure you do your research. So I ask you that next, Vanessa, for those of us who want to get into the story right now, I'm going to be foraging into this very soon with my historical I got coming up in June called What's It Mean? Coming up, it's a mail order bride series, but in Oregon. It's set in Oregon, so it's not in London. But for those of us who get into it, we love historical romance. We love to read them. You know, we say, I think I could do that. So how would you advise someone who wants to write historical what they should do?
It all starts with the research. So one of the things that you that everybody should do is, you know, first do the legal research. You know, were these unions even possible, right? Were they legally possible? Not now. Sometimes unions are still happen, and they may not be legal, but you've got to be able to understand what the laws of the time frame were. And then, you know, look at, you know, when someone drops into your historical, Parker, and I know you'll be able to do this, they're going to feel like they are in that time frame. So you've got to get the dress right, the mannerisms right, the belief structures right, the feelings that are right. And, you know, because somebody is trusting you to take you into that world. And it's a responsibility I take very seriously. I know you take very seriously. All historical writers take very seriously. They're dropping you into this world, and so you're trusting that things are right in this world, that they've cared enough to construct this beautiful world for you where they've done the research so that they know what people ate and did and thought, and they're bringing the story to you within those bounds. And it's the mantle, so I'm passing the mantle on to you.
Oh, I take it. take it, you know? And it's important because, you know, history, you have to be accurate. I remember talking to Piper for a history I'm working on right now. She gave some pointers about a couple of things. And I'm glad she did because I would have did something that was not so accurate, you know, which is helpful to have a professor of history as to have one as grand because we can have our questions. But, yeah, but it's very important when it comes to so for those of you out there listening to the sound of our voices, you want to write a historical roman, do your research, make sure you get those facts together, you know, because that's important because you're going to transport your reader to another world. Make sure you do what you can to do that. And I like how you said what Ms. Beth said. She said, you know, take your time, don't rush it because you want to make sure your story is good and credible. I mean, yeah, because go create license, no one's knocking that, but you want to make sure your story is up too, you know. Want shooting guns when they have bows and arrows and vice versa. So you really want to make sure that it's accurate. Now, this is book one of this series. So what's ahead for the Advertisements for Love series? What's ahead?
So as you know, you are introduced to Theodosia, and you are also introduced to her two friends, Esther Kroom and Frederica Burley. They are all Blackamoor women, but they all have different stories. And so the very next one up in releasing May 28th is The Bashful Bride. This one is once again layered in history. But The Bashful Bride, Esther Kroom is in love with the best actor in London, and when her best friend Frederica actually is meeting with him because he's been responding to her newspaper ad. You know, friends aren't going to do that. Everybody knows she's in love with him. So Frederica gives her the opportunity to go and talk with him. And so she's presented with this opportunity to talk with the man that she's been in love with for 2 years, who is the best actor in London. And so she does something very uncharacteristic. She proposes to him on the spot. The Bashful Bride. So it's a fun tale, and because you've got to ask yourself now, people didn't think of actors like, you know, if you bring home, you know, Erda's, your mama gonna be like, yay, right? Then back in the day, that was not a good thing. Your daddy would not want you to marry an actor. So that you know, a thing. But he happens to be the best one. So, you know, he's got women and everybody likes him and he's like the most popular man. And she's got this opportunity and she takes it by the horns because she is running from the match that her parents want to make. And so you've got to ask yourself, but why is the most fabulous actor in London trying to get a wife? And trying to get a wife in the newspaper when everybody knows he's sought after and well-liked. What could be his? Well, you'll find out in May, on May 28th to be exact, and that's The Bashful Bride. And then the latter book is Frederica Burley. Now, every one of my girls, because I believe in strong women friendships, I call them sister friendships in my books. And so this particular sister friendship, you had Theodosia, who, let's just say, she's the most logical of group. You have Esther, she's shy, but she's sharp as a tack. And then you've got Frederica, who's your ride-or-die girl. She's very light and bubbly, and she's ride-or-die. And unfortunately, at this point in time, somebody has figured out that these Blackamoor women are getting very nice matches through the newspaper. So letters are being answered by a stalker.
Ooh.
And yes. And so she is very dire straits, and the opening of the book, not to give it away, but she might be drugged and she might end up in the bed of the wrong person.
Sounds so now, good, Vanessa.
Going to be interesting. And so that one comes out October 29th. And it might be the book that a lot of people are starting to look for. People are kind of looking for one character in the book, in Bittersweet Bride. It might be his story too. So you read the series.
Don't tell us anymore.
Oh, God. I'm not going to tell us anymore. I'm just saying, you know, you might want to follow the whole series so you can kind of get a flow of what's going on. But, yeah, I believe in very strong, women should have very strong sister friends, and you see that in the book, and they have each other's back, and they are each other's strength, and they help them in the seas that are turning around them as they're trying to find, you know, trying to listen to their hearts, but, you know, trying to figure out what is their path in life.
I love that, and that's just absolutely phenomenal. I'm so titillated by this series. I know my listeners are. Make sure you get the first one of this book, of the series called The Bittersweet Bride, already getting rave reviews, and make sure you buy a copy of that today. Don't wait any longer. If you love Lucy romances, you're definitely going to love Vanessa Riley's Sweet Bride, book one of the Advertising for Love series. And then the second book is coming out May 28th. Bride, and then the third one coming out in October of 2018. That's going to be just a wonderful series. I can't wait for two of them. I love the way you're showing and telling the stories of the people of color that were around in the Regency era, and it wasn't so far-fetched. It wasn't fantasy. It's historical fact. And I think that's important. I think you're ready to come down, but I think that's important because one of the things, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, one of the things Piper, in her book that she did, was she started mentioning about colleges and how there were colleges before the Civil War for African Americans, and some people didn't believe her. And she's like, yo, there were colleges before for African Americans before the Civil War. People didn't believe her because people didn't know. And that is why I think this kind of historical fiction writing is so helpful, because you may not pick up a history book, but you may read a historical romance book. You may read historical fiction and learn something from that. And that's why I think these type of books are so important, so you know, oh, she's not just making this up. No, this is really what happened. Yeah, there were people of color in London. Yeah, some of them did have money. Some of them were high station. Some of them did a lot of different things, you know. And so having this type of fiction, I believe, is necessary. And like you're saying, you're giving a voice to these people that didn't have voices until, you know, Vanessa Riley came along, you know, 2 years ago. I'm saying 2 years ago, like you were born 2 years ago. But so you have a little bit of start to give voices to these people. And that's why I commend you for that. And so that's why I'm encouraging all our listeners out there to make sure you get a copy of The Bittersweet Bride, because you're not just reading just a book. Reading, you're being read from the pages of history, and I think that's the fun part about it. Wouldn't you say that, Vanessa?
Absolutely. And the more people that buy, the more the word gets out, and the more that people begin to look for a diverse landscape. Because you know, part of the time, part of the battle you're fighting is like with Piper's book. People didn't realize that there were colleges for African Americans after the Civil War. Yes, there were. There were Blackamoors and mulattoes in London. Yes, there were. But you don't see that. And so every time you see a book that can bring these elements of history out, you got to celebrate it. You got to embrace it, and you got to tell people about it, because that is the way that the world changes. Good books can change the world. At least that's what I think.
Oh, yeah. And that's a good point. The more you buy these books, people are calling out for diversion. They're calling and calling for it. But if you don't buy the books, then publishers, they're, to be quite frank, they're motivated by money. I don't know how to say it. You know, they're all motivated by money. So if you don't buy them and you claim, well, we don't have enough, well, you're not buying it to support what you're saying that you want. And so we definitely want to encourage you, not just, you know, any diverse. We want to make sure you buy it so people know that there is a call for that. I think answering that call, Vanessa, I really commend you for that. And you know what? We're at the end of our show, so I want to have people have an opportunity to get in touch with you. So they want to get in touch with you. How can they do that?
They need to go to my website, VanessaRiley.com. From there, you can get to my Facebook. You can get to my Twitter feed, which is also Vanessa Riley. And I love to hear from people. This book has been really hitting people. And women have been sharing their stories that they can relate, particularly about the way Theodosia is caring for her son. And I love letters. I try to respond back as often as I possibly can when I get them. But go to my website, VanessaRiley.com, and you can see all of my social media. I'm very active on Twitter. I have a Facebook. I think it's Vanessa Riley Author is my Facebook. But you can get to everything from my website, VanessaRiley.com.
Vanessa, you know, this show is always about encouraging people whom God has given the gift to write to pick up the pen and do so. So in a few moments that we have left, go ahead and encourage those authors out there to get up and write stuff.
Absolutely. They may call you weird. They may say, no one's ever going to read this. If you have it in your spirit to write it, and do it to the best of your abilities, and it may take you 125 times, as my very first book, I wrote 125 times from scratch in order to get it right. And I still probably could do another two or three times on it. But when you have a story, if you let that die inside of you, you are doing a disservice to the gift that you've been given. So it may be difficult. It may take a long time, but put behind in the seat, pen in hand, or get on a computer and start typing, but get those words out. Get the story to the world. The world needs your story.
Vanessa, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here today. And I cannot wait to have you back and be back real soon.
Thank you so much, Parker. It's a joy, and thank you for having me.
It's always fun having Vanessa Riley on a show with us. And it's no different with her newest book, The Bittersweet Bride, which is book one of the Advertisements for Love series. If you love Regency romances, you're definitely going to want to pick up this book, already getting rave reviews. And the second book in this series, called The Bashful Bride, is coming out May 28th of 2018. And the third book in the series is coming out October 2018. Definitely want to go ahead and get those books as soon as they hit. If you want to stay updated with what Vanessa is doing, check out her website, VanessaRiley.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at Vanessa Riley as well. One thing that I love that Vanessa said, that people may call you crazy, but if you don't use the gift God has given you, you're doing yourself a disservice. So why don't you do something? Pick up the pen and write stuff. Thanks for joining me for this edition of The Write Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, and have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at ParkerJCole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.